It's that time of year. Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa with Mike Valeni. We shift the focus from football to college hoops, playing that system that's not a system, but sure plays like a system leading up to the tournament. We're looking for that value with the daily dimes. We look for the gross lines, getting us ready for the tournament where we're going to break down all the matchups and have an eye on some future plays too. This time of year, baby. Search Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Rocking it out with you, hour number three of our radio program. That's right, Zach Yelb Show. But where else? CBS Sports Radio. I want to get into right now three teams before the draft even occurs, before free agency even occurs, that I just flat out don't believe in entering the 2024 season. And I'm not going to go for the low-hanging fruit here. You know, a team that didn't make the playoffs last year that has no future, I don't think is something that, you know, I'm necessarily going to bring up in this. I'm going with three playoff teams that I don't care what moves they make this offseason. I just can't believe that two of these teams are going to get to a Super Bowl and the other team is going to improve off the season that they just had this past year. Let's get the AFC team out of the way first, because I think it's the lesser of the three teams. It's the Steelers. I look at the Steelers, and Mike Tomlin is a good coach. He hasn't won a playoff game, though, since 2016. And this organization, which used to be a championship-winning organization, and they were one of the best franchises in the NFL, and they were a dominant team in the NFL, they have now been stuck the last few years on just being a good team or being the team that we look at and we go, oh, it's kind of impressive that they made the playoffs, but you never go into a season expecting the Steelers to get back to the Steelers standard. And I know it's difficult. Life without your franchise Hall of Fame quarterback. And to give Mike Tomlin credit, he has not let the ship sink here in Pittsburgh. You know, my guy Bill Belichick, outside of 1 year of making the playoffs with Mac Jones, once you've seen Tom Brady walk out the door, the Patriots were a bad football team. Where, yes, you know, they were hovering for a playoff spot a few years ago after making the postseason, but they didn't make it. So I look at the Steelers, and the reason why I just don't trust that they're going to improve next year is because I don't believe in their quarterback. And Mike Tomlin, I think, is going to do what he think is prudent, but I think it's an egregious error. And that's not being able to admit when you were wrong and doing so early. And I believe they're going to give Kenny Pickett one more chance. But at the end of the year, even if Kenny Pickett has an average season, where's that going to rank in the AFC? Like, when you look at quarterbacks right now, entering next season in just the AFC, how many are you taking over Kenny Pickett? Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers, Tua Tagovailoa, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, CJ Stroud, Trevor Lawrence. Heck, I'm taking Anthony Richardson over Kenny Pickett, just in the small sample size that I saw out of Anthony Richardson last year before he got hurt. And I would even take Will Levis right now over Kenny Pickett. Wow, you think that's a big take, Sam? I don't think that's a big take whatsoever.
It's not a huge take, but I'm also...
Put it this way.
I'm not arguing with it. I just, that's interesting.
Who do you think has a higher ceiling? I would say Will Levis has a higher ceiling than Kenny Pickett. Mahomes, obviously, you're taking over Kenny Pickett.
I don't know about that one. That's a tough
yeah,
one.
You know what? Maybe you're right on that one. Herbert, you're taking over Kenny Pickett. So, like, right now, what? The Raiders, the Broncos, and the Patriots are the three teams right now that you would say, with who they have on their roster, okay, maybe you take Kenny Pickett over them. But not like any of those teams are thinking they're getting their franchise quarterback. So Kenny Pickett's a bad quarterback. And the Steelers are going to go into this season with a bad quarterback in all likelihood as their starting quarterback. And when that happens, you know what goes off in my brain? You're making a mistake. That's what the Steelers are doing. And it's not as if the Steelers have a putrid roster. Highsmith is a phenomenal defensive player. Watt's a stud. We all know, to me, he's the best defensive player in football. Don't tell Micah Parsons that. Call the hotline and smack me around. And then on offense, I understand Najee Harris has not been accepted there. He's not been a bad running back. Jaylen Warren is solid. I do believe that Deontay Johnson can get traded, but George Pickens is a good receiver, even though he can be a knucklehead from time to time. But going into this year with Kenny Pickett, it's just a team that I go, okay, can they be a 9-win team? Can they be a 10-win team? Because Tomlin's a good coach and you got a good roster? Sure. But they need to go improve that position. And I don't think bringing back Kenny Pickett inspires any confidence in a Steelers fan. I don't. So I go into this year looking at the Steelers, and the AFC is going to get better. You know, Rodgers is going to play next year with the Jets. Now, Joe Douglas has to go get him an offensive line. The Chargers are going to be significantly better bringing in Jim Harbaugh because they actually have a coach who has a clue. So, you know, can the Jaguars bounce back? We'll see. But the AFC is going to be better. And the AFC is already pretty damn good. So I just go into this year and I expect the Steelers to be solid. I expect them to have Kenny Pickett as their quarterback, but they're not going to make an improvement. And the reason why they won't make an improvement is because their quarterback position is a bad one right now. So that's getting the Steelers out of the way. Now, the other two teams that I just sit here and I have no confidence in, where they should both be playoff teams, right? Probably one of these teams will win their division. The Giants stink. Let's wait and see who the Commanders select as their quarterback. But here's the hot take of the day. Either the Eagles or the Cowboys will win the NFC East next year, in all likelihood. So, is it about just winning the NFC East for either of those teams? No. The Eagles, I don't think they'll win a Super Bowl this year, but they're Super Bowl or bust. I know they're losing Jason Kelce. In all likelihood, they're probably losing Fletcher Cox. Maybe Hassan Reddick, which would be a loss. Maybe Hassan Reddick gets traded this offseason. But on offense, you have Jalen Hurts. You have A.J. Brown. You have Devontae Smith. You have Dallas Goedert. And maybe even, according to Pat Leonard, Saquon Barkley could be winding up down the turnpike in the city of brotherly love. Howie Roseman knows how to build a winner. Nick Sirianni has coached a team to a Super Bowl. But you're losing a big-time leader in Jason Kelce, who talked about how much this past year was just brutal. And you have a team that is best friends with their head coach. I don't want my head coach to be best friends with my players. I want them to be friendly. I want them to be acquaintances. I want that to be a good atmosphere. But you have to have control of that locker room. And when your coach is walking in with players' jerseys and your coach had a team that was 10-1 and they won one game down the stretch, even though he's made the playoffs 3 years in a row, and all 3 years, and he's exceeded all expectations for the most part, I don't think that's going to be a guy that's going to galvanize that locker room when you lose two big veterans. And I don't know how authentic the criticism is of Jalen Hurts. He did not play well this year, especially down the stretch. But Jalen Hurts isn't the rah-rah leader. And you may need a rah-rah leader to get this thing moving back in the right direction. Eagles at Super Bowl or bust. I just don't see a way, even in a weak NFC, that the Eagles are in a Super Bowl and have a chance to win a Super Bowl this upcoming year. Now, let's get to Dallas. The Dallas Cowboys at one point this season will get us to take the bait. It happened for the last 2 years where the drama Dallas choking Cowboys look like they're a force. And you have all those fans popping on up and they say, how about them Cowboys? and you look at the Cowboys and you go, all right, Dak's playing well. Oh, CeeDee Lamb, top 10 receiver in the NFL. Oh, look at Micah Parsons on defense. Deron Bland, wow, breaking records. You're getting Trayvon Diggs back. And the Cowboys are going to be a double-digit win team, just like they have under every single year under Mike McCarthy. But you already have Jerry Jones saying how much he respects Bill Belichick and he could work with Bill Belichick. Dak's contract's going to get figured out this offseason. But Dak played arguably his best year of his career last season. He was talked about as an MVP candidate in this league. And what happened come playoff time? They choked. Not only did they choke, they failed to show up in their own building against a team that was supposed to have a rebuilding year, and they made the playoffs. You had Jordan Love come into your house. You had a Packers defense where they got rid of the defensive coordinator after the season, but that defense shut down your high-octane offense. So you could blame Kellen Moore, and I wasn't a fan of him 2 years ago, and I was fine to move on with him. I think he's an overrated offensive mind. You know, McCarthy's done a fine job there, but the problem is that's now two times. You go back to San Francisco the first time and then the Packers this time where that team just wasn't ready to get up for a playoff game. How are you not ready for a playoff game when it's in your own building too? But that's twice now in your own building, the first time against San Francisco and then up against the Packers where your team didn't have a pulse. Didn't have a pulse when the ball was kicked off. So I don't care what Dallas does this offseason. To me, whatever they do in the regular season is fool's gold. And the same thing is for the Eagles. And I don't think either of those teams are going to get to a Super Bowl. Like, the Eagles maybe could get to an NFC title game. Maybe. But the Cowboys? They haven't been to an NFC title game since 1995, folks. Since the 1995 season. And this was supposed to be their year. They win the division. Have the Packers. Get a home playoff game. You win that, you get another because you were the two seed because the refs helped you out up against the Lions. And you couldn't even get out of the first damn round. So Eagles, Cowboys, Steelers, I don't have confidence in entering this offseason. And we haven't hit the draft yet. And we haven't even hit free agency yet. Those are just three teams I can't buy into regardless of what they do this offseason. I can't see anything that makes me say, wow, I'm going to buy stock in the Eagles. I'm going to buy stock in the Cowboys. I'm going to buy stock in the Pittsburgh Steelers. Santer, who's the team or two? Give me a few that you say, haven't even hit the draft yet, haven't hit free agency yet, but I see signs that this year is not going to make me walk away feeling satisfied about that ball club.
Well, first, it's funny because all three of the teams that you mentioned, I'm actually pretty high on. So
how?
I mean, listen, I know the Cowboys always fail in the playoffs.
Wait, now, just real quickly.
Yeah.
Just give me a 30-second snippet.
Quick.
I'll give you the team. You tell me why you could have confidence in them. Start with the Cowboys.
They always do well in the regular season. Eventually, they're bad luck or choking. To me, choking isn't necessarily a real thing. Eventually, they're just going to break through. They've hit brick walls. They're going to break through. They're good enough of a team with talent. It's going to happen eventually.
You know, in my lifetime, the Cowboys have never been a force. In my lifetime.
Yeah, I don't look at the Cowboys 9 years
ago. The Cowboys have never been a force.
I don't look at the Cowboys 9 years ago and dictate how that's going to impact this team in 2024.
But when you keep on saying eventually they're going to break through, all right, that could be 40 years from now eventually.
No, I mean like with Dak Prescott and Mike McCarthy, or maybe not Mike McCarthy, but with Dak Prescott at the helm, eventually the Cowboys are going to at least make the NFC Championship game, and then, you know, you never know what's going to happen, but when was the last time we saw a team that was just like close, 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 and just kept falling short and never had at least one breakthrough? There was always a breakthrough.
What do you consider a breakthrough, though?
At least making a championship game or getting close enough to like a close loss in a conference title game.
So
the only one I can think of is maybe the Rockets, you know, with James Harden, where they just never, yeah, you know, in NBA, where they just kept getting close and just running into the Warriors and Kevin Durant and just couldn't get over that hump. But for the most part, there's always a team that just,
but
like,
your breakthrough is just getting to a conference championship game.
Championship game with like a legitimate shot to win that game and get onto the Super Bowl.
So like, for example, the way that we, like, if you want to look at the equivalents last few years from an AFC and an NFC team, the Bills would be the equivalents of the Cowboys. But the Bills are on steroids compared to the Dallas Cowboys because they keep on just running into the buzzsaw that are the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's not like they ever get blown out of any of those games. They're always in those games. They just don't finish them. The Cowboys get blown out against the Green Bay Packers. They didn't show up for 30 minutes in the first half up against the Niners. And I know that they gave it a run in the second half and they couldn't get the ball snapped. So, like, I'll give much more confidence the Buffalo turn this thing around, even in a tougher conference, than I would with the Dallas Cowboys.
I agree with that, for sure.
Because here's the difference, too. You have an elite quarterback in Josh Allen. Josh Allen's elite. Dak had a... You could argue this is maybe a great season by Dak in the regular season. That's fair. But I don't think Dak, we ever look at him in totality as a great quarterback. He's more of a good quarterback.
But let's also say in that loss to Green Bay, Dak wasn't the reason they lost. Granted, they got off to a little bit of a slow start, but
the whole
defense,
team didn't show up.
That defense was a sieve. They couldn't stop anybody. And even when Dak started making plays and they started creeping in, boom, Jordan Love again. Boom, Jordan Love again. So that was more about the defense than it was Dak.
Nah, I can't let Dak off the hook.
Not
didn't
fully.
Show up either.
No, the whole team.
The whole team bleeped
the bed.
I mean,
he still had 400 yards and like three touchdowns. He played a decent game from the second quarter on.
I'm not saying I could throw 400 yards. But when you're trailing by that many points at halftime and you have to throw the ball a bunch, it's called garbage stats. Yeah. All right, Eagles, real quickly, why do you believe that they could turn around? 30 seconds.
I'm going to look at the last year and a half and the Super Bowl appearance rather than the last like 5-6 games of last year.
Okay. And then how about the Steelers?
They're a quarterback away. They're a quarterback away.
But it ain't Kenny Pickett.
No, I don't think it's Kenny Pickett, but they're a quarterback away.
But that's the topic. Teams you don't believe in heading into this season.
Right, but I
believe
they're
going to... Do you think they're going to go get one?
I believe they're going to get a quarterback.
Okay.
A veteran quarterback, whether it's Cousins, Russ, or Fields. They're going to get somebody that's going to be able to be the next step. And part of the reason why I believe in them is one of the teams I don't believe in is the Browns, right? Nick Chubb...
Wait.
Yes.
Here we go, Brownies. Here we go.
I have more faith in Joe Flacco than I do in Deshaun Watson at this point. Deshaun Watson hasn't played legitimate... Pro Bowl level Deshaun Watson football in like 4 years.
Yeah.
And like even when he has been healthy and playing, he hasn't been great. Nick Chubb is coming off another devastating injury.
Yeah.
All right. The team is getting just a little bit older. You still have Myles Garrett. I get it. But like that defense that we just had all that faith in, like you look at the stats, they were good. They weren't great. And Myles Garrett was a monster. At the end of the day, unless Deshaun Watson comes in and is absolutely lights out like he used to be.
That defense in the playoff game.
Yeah, unless Deshaun Watson comes in and shows that he's the Deshaun Watson of the Texans before all this crap went down, the Browns are finishing last in that division and they're going to have 7-6 wins.
I don't know. I can't say they're finishing last, but if you ask me what's more likely they finish first or they finish last, I would say it's more likely that they finish last. I think at best they're the third team in that division. I would agree. I think the Browns are going to take a step back, and it's going to be unfair because then people are going to go after Stefanski, where it's probably more of a Deshaun Watson issue.
I actually think Stefanski's safe. What he did last year with Flacco is epic and legendary. I think he's safe no matter what happens next year with Deshaun.
So it should make him safe. It should. But you know how quickly fans forget, and you know that team owes Deshaun Watson a fully guaranteed deal. If Deshaun doesn't have things go his way, it's not right. He'll turn on Stefanski, and we know the player's going to win because the Browns handed over their organization to Deshaun Watson. Who's the next team?
The other team, everyone's high on this team, and you keep talking about them. They're a quarterback away, the Atlanta Falcons. I don't think they're a quarterback away. Listen, I love Bijan Robinson. Drake London has been good, but he's hurt a lot. Kyle Pitts, you can blame the offensive system. You can blame the quarterback. He's been a failure in this league. He's been terrible for the most part. So, like, yeah, you have all these weapons.
Did you tell him that
talent.
When you saw him at the Gatorade party, by the way?
I didn't see Kyle Pitts.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Did I?
Mm-hmm. You even said to me, you go, you know, he's, like, very tall in person, and he's just very fit.
Oh, I don't remember seeing Kyle Pitts. I remember seeing Trayvon and Steph Diggs.
Yeah.
But I don't remember seeing Kyle Pitts.
Samter was getting his free Gatorade bottle with the Diggs family.
Yeah, that may have been the margarita
family.
Speaking. Who knows? But, I mean, he hasn't been great. So, like, there's all this talent there. But, like, who knows if that talent is going to equal out. And the defense has been okay. But the defense hasn't been great.
The young secondary was phenomenal last year.
Yeah, but they haven't been, like, they're not a team defensively that can carry an offense. And, yes, they might be. You know, they might need a good quarterback, but Kirk Cousins, Justin Fields, are they really going to make the Falcons compete with the Lions and put them in that same class as the 49ers or the Eagles? No. They're still going to be the sixth best team in the division, in the conference.
But the division is putrid. The Bucs, they bring back Baker. We'll see if he can recreate it. The Saints.
They're bringing back Mike Evans.
Well, hold on. The Saints, no one can trust the Saints. I was out in the Saints before the start of last season, and the Panthers are a clown show right now. So you bring Kirk Cousins. I know yesterday I said they could reach an NFC title game, but they would easily. You bring in Kirk Cousins or Fields, you're the favorite in that division.
Has Kirk Cousins ever been to an NFC title game? Of course not.
No, he hasn't. But according to your theory, eventually he'll break through.
It's certainly a possibility, but I guess I'm just looking at it and I'm just saying the Falcons, if the Falcons add Aaron Rodgers, like a healthy Aaron Rodgers,
yeah,
or like a great quarterback, maybe. But like Kirk Cousins and Justin Fields doesn't put the Falcons in the same class as the 49ers, the Cowboys, the Eagles, the Lions, even the Rams.
No,
or the
but
Packers.
They could win that division.
They could win that division.
Should.
I still think they're the second, maybe even the third best team in that division. I'm a lot higher on the Buccaneers than most other people.
Okay, but the Saints? Kirk Cousins runs circles around Derek Carr. Runs circles around him.
I mean, Kirk Cousins in a brand new offense, in a brand new system. Coming off an Achilles. Does he really run circles around him? They're much more equal than we're making it out to be.
Kirk Cousins is a top 10 quarterback when healthy in this league.
Ooh. I might have to go through the numbers and crunch that one.
He's a top 10 quarterback in this league. I'm not saying he's 6. I'm not saying he's 5. He is a top 10 quarterback in this league.
Tua or Kirk?
Kirk.
Wow.
Over Tua?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather have Kirk Cousins. But the point is, Derek Carr, it's always the woe is me card with him. The only time I had sympathy for Derek Carr, the two times, when he got hurt right before that year when they made the playoffs, and then the way that in Las Vegas, when you had to deal with Gruden, all the crap that was going on off the field. But most of the times, like Eric Eager said, he's a Chief fan, and I love that how Eric Eager said this. He goes, whenever Derek Carr is expected to do something, that's when I fade the team that Derek Carr is on. And Derek Carr, whenever he tries to present himself as top 10 quarterback, he face plants like back to 15th in this league. He ain't going to win that division this year. Everyone said, Saints. Who'd say we're going to beat them Saints? And they didn't win that division. Baker Mayfield won that division.
Well, they were tied for the division lead, and they just lost on tiebreaker. But I get your point. I'm not all in on Derek Carr. I'm just saying that Kirk Cousins and the Falcons doesn't inspire me to say they're far and away the best team in the South. I still think they're the second, at worst third, but at best, I think second to best team in the division.
I think they could easily win that division, the Atlanta Falcons, assuming they get their quarterback.
Could win it, not easily.
No, I just, you know what? They will win that division. They get Kirk Cousins, they will win that division. It is Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Who's a team before even seeing the draft, before even seeing free agency that you believe in entering this season? 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. We will take a break and we will come on back and we will do a little overreaction, proper reaction. Or Sam, do we have time to do that? You want to bump that to 540?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay. So when we come on back, I'm going to give you a thought on a potential format change in the NFL that I am saying no thanks even before it gets started. Coming on back.
It's that time of year. Cash the Ticket. Jim Costa with Mike Valeni. We shift the focus from football to college hoops. Playing that system that's not a system, but sure plays like a system leading up to the tournament. We're looking for that value with the daily dimes. We look for the gross lines. Getting us ready for the tournament where we're going to break down all the matchups and have an eye on some future plays too. This time of year, baby. Search Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. We have the official list with today being the deadline for players that are franchise tagged. Tampa Bay has tagged Antoine Winfield Jr. I would be surprised if they don't get a long-term deal done. L'Jarius Sneed, I could see him getting traded at some point this offseason, especially when that team's trying to work out a deal with Chris Jones, and you can only pay so many players, and there are times on these great teams when you lose players. You don't want to lose them, but there's just other areas for those players to make more money, and they sometimes take the more money than winning another championship when you've already won some titles. The Jaguars, Josh Allen, they need to keep Josh Allen. Josh Allen's a stud. They need to get that deal done. If not, you play it on a franchise tag. I would not consider trading him. The Colts, you cannot consider trading Michael Pittman Jr. He is outside, you know, he's their best pass catcher, is the way to say that. He is a very good wide receiver. I think he's an in-betweener. He's like a 1.5. There are moments where you say, okay, he could be a number one. I don't ever think you look at him and go, yeah, you know, he's a middle-of-the-road two. But you go get another weapon in there and you have a 1-2 punch and you could do something like a DK Metcalf and a Tyler Lockett. That would be phenomenal for the Indianapolis Colts. The Bengals, I would not trade T. Higgins because you are in a win-now mode. After this year, T. Higgins may be on his way out. But I would keep T. Higgins with Ja'Marr Chase and hope that Joe Burrow could stay healthy, even if that means you lose T. Higgins for just a compensatory pick a year from now. The Bears, Jalen Johnson, I'm going to assume he's back next year, probably plays on this franchise tag. Brian Burns with the Panthers. You want to talk about an organization that can't get out of their own way? It's the Panthers. They turned down a deal, I think it was from L.A., where they were offered 2 first-round picks. They turned that down. Now Burns is on the tag, and it doesn't seem like they're going to get a long-term deal done. And if they trade in this offseason, which I think it could happen, you're not going to get 2 first-round picks. So if you just get one, okay, it's fine. But Brian Burns is a great, and I mean an underrated defensive player in this league. And the Ravens did franchise tag Justin Madubuike too. So those are the franchise tag players for the year of 2024. I think you could see some trades, though. Snead and Higgins are two guys that definitely could get traded. I would not trade Higgins, and I feel like the Chiefs will end up at some point trading L'Jarius Snead. All righty, there's been a lot of talk about the NFL expanding their regular season to 18 games. And when the NFL elected to go from 16 to 17, I wasn't for it because the NFL tries to present that they care about player safety. I know they'll tell you, oh, well, we trimmed off a preseason game. That doesn't come off to me as a league that cares about player safety. And not only that, by placing less of an importance on a preseason, and then you factor in the CBA too, and how much limited contact and limited physicality you're allowed to have before the start of the season. We used to see times when it was a 16-game regular season where the first 4 games of the season, it was an extension of the preseason. Now, with the way the CBA is, it feels like a lot of the time throughout the season, there's a ton of sloppy football. I understand that we all want to see more football. We all love football. We never want the football season to end. But with how much sloppy football we just saw this past year in a 17-game regular season schedule, imagine how much more sloppy football we're going to see on an 18-game regular season schedule. So that's why I would be against this, is because just because you have more football doesn't mean you're going to have better football. Don't get greedy here. We know the NFL is going to get greedy because it's all about the money. And that's why they're going to do this. But I think the product is not going to get better. It will just continue to be more sloppy football. And that's a problem with the CBA right now. And it's a problem with the limitations that are in the offseason program. But you're having those limitations and those things for player safety, but then you keep on adding regular season games and what, trimming preseason games? That, to me, quite frankly, it's you're putting on this front that you care about player safety, but you really don't. And it's not the first time that the NFL has been hypocritical, but there's been a lot of weeks where we walk in on a Monday and we go, wow, oh, that was some sloppy football. And I think you'll even see more sloppy football when you continue to add on to the regular season and take away from things in the offseason that gets you ready for the season. All righty, Zach Yelp Show, CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back. We will do an offseason overreaction, proper reaction as we gear up for free agency. And we're coming off the NFL Combine. All righty, this is Zach Gelb's show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. In football season, every Tuesday we do overreaction, prop reaction. There are a few times in the off season, coming off of big events, that we'll continue to do overreaction, prop reaction before we go full go with it back in the fall in September and coming off the NFL Combine as we gear up for NFL free agency next week. It's the perfect time to do a little overreaction, prop reaction. Chris Hess, Stuart Kovacs, hit it.
Another NFL week is complete, which means it's another week to freak out about your favorite team. Which takes are truly crazy.
But sometimes a game can be so bad, it's almost good. You know what I'm saying? No.
And which are so crazy, they might be right.
He's 6'5", he's 245 pounds. He's probably a Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end.
Zach lets you know in this week's edition of Overreaction or Proper Reaction.
All righty, Michael Samter, what do you got?
All right, now.
All right, well, we're going to do a little bit of a combine overreaction, then morph into a little bit of off-season NFL overreaction. So the talk of the combine was Texas wideout Xavier Worthy, who ran a combine record 4.21 40, beating John Ross's record of 4.22. As we remember, Ross was drafted top 10 by the Bengals, number 9 overall, but lasted just 5 years in the NFL with fewer than 1,000 yards combined in his career. So overreaction, proper reaction, Worthy should be a first-round pick with that blazing speed.
Yes, Worthy is worthy of being a first-round pick. That is a proper reaction. He actually had a very solid 3 years at Texas, and just because of how many receivers there are in the country, maybe kind of flew under the radar a little bit. But in 2021, he had 62 receptions, 981 yards, 12 touchdowns. Then in 2022, 60 receptions, 760 yards, 9 touchdowns. And last year, 75 receptions, over 1,000 yards, 1,014, and 5 touchdowns. There's a good track record there. And we know how much speed kills in this league. And also, he's not like 5'10". He's not like 5'9", right? Like Tyreek Hill, we all know he's smaller, but he's so quick and he's so physical. This guy's 6'1". And he's able to run at this size. So I would say that's a proper reaction. I would say he's worthy of being a first-round pick.
Now, another big winner from the combine was Penn State's Chop Robinson, who ran
chop.
Blistering 4.48 40 for a guy standing 6'3 and weighing 254 pounds. However, despite his workout dominance, Chop had a grand total of 6 sacks in 3 seasons, getting to the QB just 4 times last year. So overreaction, proper reaction, you believe Chop Robinson will be an elite pass rusher in the NFL?
I think he could be good. I think he'd be very good. When you say elite pass rushers, and I know it's a different type of player, you talk about TJ Watt, you talk about Myles Garrett, you talk about Max Crosby, even Micah Parsons, right? Am I saying he's going to be that? I don't think I've seen enough. Now, the stats, Belichick says all the time stats are for losers. He dealt with some injuries last year. He's banged up. Manny Diaz last year at Penn State rotates in a bunch of defensive players. Right, Micah Parsons' numbers didn't, like, blow you away in college either. He started his career at Maryland. I think he's going to be good. But right now, I think it's an overreaction to say he's going to be an elite pass rusher. When I hear elite, I think top 5 pass rushers in the sport, and I'm not ready to go that far. So I'll go overreaction on that one.
Now, we talked about 2 great combines. One player who had a rough combine was Alabama corner Kool-Aid McKinstry. Who,
maybe my favorite name in the draft.
I know. Such a cool. I mean, do you think he bust through walls saying, oh, yeah. Now, he was a projected top 10 pick, but he didn't participate in workouts because NFL doctors found a Jones fracture in his foot that could have him miss part of the season, maybe even all of it. Meanwhile, Clemson DB Nate Wiggins ran a blistering 4.28, while Longhorn Adonai Mitchell and Bama teammate Terrion Arnold also had impressive workouts at the cornerback position. So overreaction, proper reaction. Because of the injury, Kool-Aid McKinstry should still be the first corner off the board.
So as you were saying, right, you have an early mock draft in November, October. He was projected bare minimum in that top 10, top 15. Let's see after the combine with all this news where Ryan Wilson of CBS Sports has him. Does he have him in the top 32? I'm at 16 so far. No Kool-Aid McKinstry. At 21, Ooh, is Brock Bowers falling to 21 to the Dolphins? I don't see Kool-Aid McKinstry here. I'm at 26. I'm going to keep on going. Ooh, is Michael Penix Jr. falling to the Seahawks at 28? A little trade back there. Chop Robinson goes 29 to the Lions. No Kool-Aid McKinstry. I think the injury factor is going to make an impact here, especially when you have a secondary player and you're talking about a Jones fracture. That gives you a lot of skepticism, and he's probably going to be one of those guys that is a great second-round value where it becomes a story of the first round, right? Oh, he's fallen, he's fallen, he's fallen, he's fallen, and then someone takes him early in the second round. I'm going to say that that's a overreaction when you say that Kool-Aid McKinstry should still be the first corner off the board despite the injury.
Now, the Giants have the sixth overall
pick. When I did overreaction, prop reaction with Chop Robinson.
Yeah.
Did I say overreaction?
Yes, you said overreaction that he will not be, he may be a good, but not an elite pass rusher.
I don't know if I said prop reaction then gave you the overreaction answer.
I believe you said overreaction, but you definitely meant overreaction, whatever the words that came out of your mouth were.
Gotcha.
Now, the Giants
still recovering from that bachelor party in Puerto Rico.
Back-to-back bachelor parties, which we still haven't heard any stories yet, which good for you for not, you know, breaking the man code, but also bad for you for not entertaining us with Regal stories of bachelor party success.
Now, time out. You are the same jackass, right? And there was, I found it very funny. Barrett Sports Media wrote an article. And they wrote an article. When was the last time you heard a talk show host just use the word jackass and call someone they work with or call someone that gives an opinion a jackass? And I'm like, oh, I know they write enough articles about us. Clearly, they don't listen to the show. My mom actually got annoyed with me because she goes, I don't like the word jackass and you use it a lot. But, Samter, in this case, I say it with love. Weren't you the same jackass that last week, Mr. Tough Guy Samter, walking in after I came back from the first bachelor party in Orlando, you go, you know, there's a guy code. You don't post any photos or talk about the bachelor party. What happens at the bachelor party stays at the bachelor party. Now you want me to spill the beans about what happened.
No, I said good for you for not breaking the man code.
I said
I was also a little bit disappointed as a radio producer. You know, listen, I don't care about your man code, man card.
Hey, you just did last week.
Yeah, listen, I'm going to call you out for it, but I also want what's entertaining for radio. So you might lose your man card by talking about it, but it'll be more fun on the radio.
I don't know if I'm losing my man card at anything, let's be clear. I am having a maintenance day, though, tonight.
Like getting your nails done?
No. The only time I get a pedicure and a manicure is if I'm involved in a wedding. It's the only time. I am going to get a nice back massage tonight. My back, after being on all these planes in the month of February, was acting up. So I'm getting a nice back massage.
All right. I'm not the one giving it, ladies and gentlemen, just for the record. Just want everyone to be clear.
Yeah, your hands aren't big enough.
That's what the never mind.
you are the Kenny Pickett of masseuses. Small hands.
Smells like cabbage. Now, the Giants have the sixth overall pick in the draft, and many believe they're going to target a quarterback and may even try to trade up into the top three. Today, Rich Eisen revealed a damning rumor he heard at the Combine about Daniel Jones.
Number three of my top five rumors I heard at the Combine is the Giants are absolutely done with Daniel Jones.
Wow.
Done.
Wow. Absolutely done.
Done. Might have to play him this year.
Whoa.
But that ain't it. And they feel that ain't it. The words I heard at the Combine multiple times, two words were buyer's remorse.
Buyer's remorse.
I love how he says that. They're done. But they might have to play him this year.
I think they're done. Are they done? Essence. I mean, they're done in the sense that, like, contractually, they're obligated to have him on the roster without hurting their abilities to contend in football games. But, yeah, they're done in the sense that they have no interest in playing him or have the quarterback in mind.
But when they gave him the contract, did anyone think that he was their long-term answer? I don't think the Giants.
That's why he said the term was buyer's remorse. They gave him the money and immediately realized that they made a mistake.
Bam, Daniel.
Now, overreaction, prop reaction. Daniel Jones has started his last game for the New York football Giants.
That is an overreaction because, like what Rich Eisen just said there, they're done with him, but they may have to play him this year. He'll be their starting quarterback as long as he's healthy, which is a problem, come week one. He will play at least, bare minimum, he will play one game this year for the New York football Giants.
All right, Zach, we have one more here. Aaron Rodgers will return under center for the Jets in 2024, though most believe this will be his last season, especially with gangrene. However, today, Rodgers joined the Look Into It podcast and left the door open for a longer stay.
I got back on the practice field late in the season, and you know, couldn't get to a top speed sprinting, but really been in a good place rehab wise from the start and feeling really good. And, you know, again, I'm hopeful I can play two or three or four more years, but you need to have some good fortune there too.
What a drama whore.
Two, three, or four more years for my gangrene, my former gangrene.
You see, you're a fraud too. One fraud to the next. Can you get your story straight? And also, you are not allowed to be a Chiefs fan until you get that Mike Pinnell tramp stamp tattoo. That was what he said on this show. I haven't seen the tattoo yet.
It's coming. It's coming. I'm just making the design.
Dead if I hold my breath.
Now, overreaction, proper reaction. Aaron Rodgers will play past 2024.
Past 2024?
So this will not be his last season. You're saying that he's going to play... I'm asking, is he going to play another season after this year?
Oh, that's a proper reaction. He's not going to play three. He's not going to play four. But he'll play two seasons, I think, for the Jets.
Interesting.
I could see that. I could see this season upcoming and the season after that, he'll give it a run. Now, here's the problem, though. You talked about good fortune. Can Joe Douglas, who I was around a little bit in Philadelphia, and I had a lot of respect for, and he was known right offensive line. When Joe Douglas hired as the Jets general manager, oh, he's a genius on the offensive line. He's a genius at finding these offensive linemen. He's been the GM now for, what, half a decade? Can the dude find one competent offensive line? Can he build an offensive line unit one time? Like the Jets, that's a team I'm already out on before the season starts. Because I don't have any confidence in Joe Douglas getting an offensive line in there. Like, they're going to make changes. Just because you make changes doesn't mean you're going to find the right people. They've already made changes. And what good is it if you have a quarterback if you can't protect the quarterback? That's a big problem. I think Rodgers could have individually a good season, but as a team, I just don't think the Jets are going to be a playoff team come 2024 in the fall. All righty. Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Fun show today. We got to get on out of here. Big thanks to Brandon Stokely. Big thanks to Chris Hess, Stuart Kovacs, and Michael Samter as well, and each and every one of you. We'll be back tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific. Going to be a fun show coming up tomorrow. We got a few surprises for you. I'll tell you about them right at 3 p.m. Eastern, mañana. All righty, have a good night, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. Peace.
It's that time of year. Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa with Mike Valeni. We shift the focus from football to college hoops, playing that system that's not a system, but sure plays like a system, leading up to the tournament. We're looking for that value with the daily dimes. We look for the gross lines, getting us ready for the tournament where we're going to break down all the matchups and have an eye on some future plays, too. This time of year, baby. Search Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.